Well, good morning, everyone. This is John Alls, and I would like to welcome you back this morning on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. Now, over the last 8 weeks, we've been focusing on the way of salvation. And starting this week, we're going to move into a short series out of the book of James and try to answer this question. And the question is, what is the proof of believing? So without any further delay, here is Pastor Reynolds as he reads from James chapter 1.
What is the real proof of believing? What is the real proof? Well, the real proof is this: to keep on believing. In James 1, verse 1 through 4, the Bible states this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Here is what James says. Listen in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, what is the proof of believing? The proof is this: that you will be tempted. You see, temptation of Satan is a fact of life. Don't think it strange when fiery trials come upon you. Don't think it strange at all. Don't think it's odd. Don't think that God is not in control when strange temptations come upon you. But understand that this is simply a fact of life. Why does God allow believers to be tempted? Why does God do that? Wouldn't it be much better if we could just live a perfect life? Well, we think so, but God doesn't. You see, there are things that we can learn about His love and care for us that we would never understand if we did not go through all of these troubles and trials and temptations that come upon us. Now, think with me. In the book of Exodus 14, the Bible states in verse number 10 that God led the Israelites exactly where He wanted them to go, because God had a reason for leading them in that way. In the book of Exodus 14, verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. This is the thing about temptations that God always brings. You see, God did not have to bring Israel this way. God could have kept Egypt from pursuing Israel, just as God could have caused Pharaoh to let Israel go immediately instead of bringing the 10 plagues upon Egypt. God could have, but God did not. Sometimes God sends us in front of our enemies to prove to us that He is able to give us the victory. This is the reason that King David, when he was a young boy, was led to go before Goliath. Why was that? He was not even king, but God had on His mind something really great for David. And we never know the future. We never know what God will do for us if we just stand true and faithful unto Him. That's the truth of it. But notice, in the book of Exodus 14 and verse number 11 and verse number 12, what the reaction of Israel was whenever they saw the Egyptians coming against them. The Bible said in verse number 11, and they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, has thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to have served the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You see, this is the way it is. God led Israel into this place where it looked like they could be taken captive by the Egyptians once again. Sometimes God does exactly the same thing to us. But what God has on His mind is to show us individually that He is well able to bless. He is well able to take care of us if we simply trust Him and nothing else. You see, Israel at this point had an option. They could have expressed their faith in the promises of God and the sureness of their following the will of God by stating this. They should have said, "Wow, look at this. Here comes Egypt, and there's nowhere to go. I wonder what miracle God will perform now to get us out of this difficulty." But they didn't say that. Instead, they complained to Moses. They said, "We're going to die in this wilderness. It's better for us if we just lived in that wicked land, the land of Egypt." But God had something else on His mind for them. You see, Exodus 14, verse 11 through 12, and we've already read that one time, but this tells us exactly what Israel said to Moses. They said, "There are no graves in Egypt. We brought all these people that's died in that land, and now we're going to die ourselves. This is exactly what we told you that's going to happen." You see, they didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. They didn't take the promises of God like they should. They thought that they would die in the wilderness along with all of their children. But the thing that they missed was this: that God knows much better than they do. And the Israelites that came out of the land of Egypt were the ones that died in the wilderness. It was their children that took the promised land. Think of that. God could have stopped Satan from bringing sin into the world. But God didn't do that. God allowed sin. And God has allowed all the result of sin and all the wickedness to come, and for all that wickedness to take its effect upon us. What has God got on His mind? God wants us to trust Him. That's what He's got on His mind. Regardless of what happens to us, God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to believe in Him. God wants us to rely upon Him, because He can take care of whatever is in front of us. Understand that that's so. God knows about the end from the beginning. God is able to watch over us. He is able to bless us. He's able to take care of us. We need to trust God, and don't trust all the things that we normally trust. Don't trust your income, because you might get laid off tomorrow. Don't trust your health, because you might wind up real sick. You can't trust any of that. You can't trust your family. I know you love them, and I know you want to care for them. But I tell you what, our trust ought to be in the most holy God, and in none other. That's what God really wants us as individuals to do, is to trust Him and not to trust anything else. There are many forms of this testing and trials that comes upon us. Some are sent by God to prove our faith. Some are sent by God to cause us to stand. Some are sent by God to cause us to mature in the Lord. His word is not speaking about God leading us into sin, rather about God leading us His way instead of our way, so we can learn to trust Him with our everyday life. Believe in God. That's the whole thing. Trust the Lord. I know that we say that to lost people all the time, but saved people need to understand that we're never to the place that we really ought to be. We need to trust God every day with everything about us, and believe that God is the one who can take us into the promised land. That's what Israel lacked. But we don't want to lack that at all. We want to be true to the Almighty God. You see, God is leading us into victory. God is not leading us into defeat. The way God leads us is so that we will understand that the victory is His alone. Not because of circumstances, and not because of our wisdom or our determination. God put you in a place where he forces you to trust him and him alone. I tell you what, God will never, ever let you down. He will never, ever let you down. I know that you let yourself down. I know your friends will let you down. But God will never, ever let you down when you fully trust in the Lord. He will always bless. I know that sometimes we only hear the things that we want to hear. This is the same thing that happened to the nation of Israel. When Moses came before them, he told them plainly. In the book of Exodus 3 and verse number 19, Moses said to the people of Israel, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And because of that, God then will stretch out his hand and he will smite Egypt with all of his wonders, destroying all of the worship of Egypt. To prove that Israel didn't hear what he said, I want you to read the book of Exodus 5. The Bible states here in verse number 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, this is Israel that's talking to Moses and Aaron. He said, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in his hand to slay us. Israel didn't understand the things that God had on his mind. Sometimes we're just exactly the same way. Sometimes we don't understand why troubles and trials and tribulations come upon us. But they do come upon us, do they not? God wants us to completely and wholly trust him, never looking to circumstances. God is greater than any circumstance. God can take care of things. But he wants us to trust in him and him alone. Sometimes God sends self-inflicted doubt and trouble. This shows our lack of faith in God and dependence upon ourselves. We will fail if we trust self instead of God. Let me say that again. We will fail if we trust self instead of God. There are many, many temptations in this wicked world. These temptations will eventually destroy us. There's many things that God wants us to learn as we live in this life. But one thing for sure that he wants us to learn, he wants us to learn to trust him.
You know, many times when people think about turning their life over to Christ, they kind of imagine this life of total ease and the path being free and clear from then on. But you know, in reality, the Bible specifically says that we as Christians will suffer persecution. He tells us that we will be faced with trials and temptations. You know, and I'm afraid that sometimes we as Christians, we try and hide our trials. We try and cover up the fact that we're faced with situations. And I think we do it sometimes because we're afraid of what people are going to think about Christianity. You know, we want them to see that things are good and great. You know, in reality, they need to know that we're faced with these things. You know, and more importantly, they need to see that when we're faced with those things, that we lean on Christ during those times. And they need to see him move in our lives. And they need to see how we react in those times. And it means so much more when people see that we still trust God during those times, that we still lean on him, and that we still praise him even when we're going through trials and temptations. You know, it's not just good for us, but it also helps point people back to Jesus Christ. You know, this message is one that's very important for so many people to hear. And if you have someone on your mind that you'd like to share it with, I'd encourage you to go to our website at independencebaptist.org under the audio section. And be sure and download that and send them a copy. Well, our time is up for today, but we do want to invite you to attend services with us this morning. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestville, Missouri. And services will be starting with Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by worship services at 11, prayer meeting at 3:45, and worship services at 4:30. Well, we do want to again thank you for joining us, and we look forward to meeting with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m.